All right, why don't we all stand this morning? I should turn that off the screen so we're not all distracted by what's going on. Don't want announcements continually cycling while I try and teach. Okay. There we go. And we started today with coming in and our projector wasn't working. Thankfully, we worked out it was just a cable. That means we've got to get up into the roof and do some more rewiring. Praise the Lord, but we will get there. Amen. Let's begin with prayer, shall we? Why don't we bow our heads, close our eyes. Precious Jesus, thank you, Lord, that we can be in your house, have the opportunity to study your word, Lord, to become more like you. Lord, have your way today as we begin this next series, Lord. We love you. We praise you in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. I did do up a really nice title slide for this series and then completely forgot it to add it to the presentation software. So you're just going to have to imagine how amazing it looked, and you'll see it next week because it's the same title slide. But this morning we're going to begin a new series and it's called Heartbeat. Heartbeat. If you cast your mind back 12 weeks or so, we started a series called Standing in Liberty. And in that series, we talked about that tension between, you know, just living however you want to live. Doesn't matter. Just do whatever you want. And the legalistic side where it's like, you must do this, and you must do this, and you must do this. And that tension that we occupy in liberty, where we stand in the middle of that, where we don't preach, do whatever you want, doesn't matter, God loves you. And we don't preach, you got to follow these 379 rules to see God. We stand in the middle. And in that series, we're really dealing with our attitude and who we are and how we approach God and how we live towards God. The next series, the last one we taught, was Every Tribe and Every Nation. And this was talking about that we need to go out, that we need to be a church that looks like the community, that we are called to be a part of every tribe and every nation. We talked a little bit about how heaven is going to be full of people from every culture, every background. And down here, we've got to be the same, amen. We've got to allow our church to look like our community. We can't just reach any one culture group or any one type of people. So we talked about what we want to look like. And in this series, I want to talk for the next 4 weeks on why we want to look like that. What is God's heartbeat? Why is this important to us as a church? Why do we need to reach people? Why do we need to make a difference in the world? Why? Amen. So we can talk about heartbeat. Has anyone got one of those smartwatches, like an Apple Watch or something like that? I've got one. And on it, I can measure my heartbeat. Right now, my heartbeat is running at 99 beats per minute. It is a lot, but it's probably because I'm standing up here in front of everyone talking, and I've got people looking at me and listening to me. When I'm relaxed, my heart rate is around 54 beats per minute, something like that. You know, and every heart is different. Some people's hearts beat fast naturally, some people's beat slow. Some people have heart problems, which is sad. Some people don't. Some people have transplanted hearts. Everyone's got a different heart. And in this series, we want to talk about our heartbeat because obviously our heart is one thing and we understand our heartbeat in terms of the physical sense, right? But have you ever heard that expression, to have a heartbeat for something? Someone's my heartbeat. You know, it means that that person, that thing, that object is really close and dear to you, right? It's something that you hold as very precious. And we can have that feeling for a whole lot of different things. Some of them can be good things. Others of them can be bad things. Sometimes we can allow things to take priority in our life that perhaps we ought to be a little bit more careful about, amen. Things that we sometimes allow to creep in. But have you ever asked, what is God's heartbeat? It's interesting, isn't it? You know, the heartbeat is quite an amazing thing. You know, your heart, as it beats something like 100,000 times per day. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? 100,000 times per day. You've got about 5 liters of blood in your body, and it travels over 19,000 kilometers every day. 19,000 kilometers. Your blood vessels are 100,000 kilometers long if you stretch them out end to end. One person. 100,000 kilometers long. But heartbeat, as I already alluded to, it's more than just a natural thing. You know, Greeks believed that the heart was the seat of the spirit. Chinese philosophers associated the heart with the center of happiness. Egyptians thought that emotions and intelligence came from the heart. And we talk about having our heart broken, right? You have that first relationship and, you know, your boyfriend breaks up with girlfriend, girlfriend breaks up with boyfriend, and your heart is broken. You don't mean your heart is literally broken. Your heart's working just fine, right? But there's something spiritual going on. There's something deep in there. And throughout the history of various cultures, we are informed that many, if not all, societies deemed that the heart was something deeper than just a physical organ inside your chest. It was used almost synonymously with the way that the spirit and the soul operate in a person's life. And so I ask you again, have you ever stopped to ask, what is God's heartbeat? If there are things in our life that we love, things in our life that we just feel like we couldn't live without, things in our life that are just close to our mind, like maybe our kids. You know, we see those people with lockets and they have the pictures of their kids inside a heart and they wear it close to their chest. Heartbeat. Right? What's God's heartbeat? Have we ever stopped to wonder what does God's heart beat for? What does God love beyond anything else in this world? What is his heartbeat? Because here's my first point. We won't be spiritually healthy until our heartbeat matches his. Right? You ever wondered why King David was called? The Bible tells us in Acts. David was a man after God's own heart. David had connected with something that was important to God's heart. And David wanted to be a part of that. And so his heart followed what God's heart wanted. He was a man after his own, God's own heart. If we begin to see what types of things influence the heart of God then, and what kind of things command his attention, then my question is, wouldn't it be beneficial to our relationship with God to chase the things that he chases, to long for the things that he longs for? To make the things that are his priority our priority. We understand this in the natural sense, right? You know, when I first married, this is a very simple example, but when I first married Sister Janie, I knew nothing about tennis. I couldn't care less about tennis. Like, you know, I knew some of the big names, but that was about it. But, you know, Sister Janie, she really likes the tennis. Now, I like the tennis. Why? Because I suddenly have an urge to like tennis? No, because I love her. And what is interesting to her has become interesting to me. Now, she knew nothing about cricket when we got married, but I did. And so now she knows more about cricket. She understands more about cricket. She's interested in it now. Why? Because what is of interest to her has become of interest to me and vice versa. And it's got to be the same thing with God. When we are in a relationship with God, we want to find out what is God's interests, what is concerning to him, what does his heart beat for? And that's what we ought to pursue as well. That becomes our interest, or it should become our interest, amen, if we are in a relationship with him. And this is why knowing the heart of God is so important to our spiritual intimacy with him. You know, I'm sure you've heard it before. You know, people separate. Why? Because I just don't love that person anymore. It's not that they don't love that person. What's happened is they've drifted apart and they don't know each other anymore. And so we've got to be with God. We've got to want to know God because that's what draws us closer to each other. Just like in a marriage relationship, you want to know your husband, know your wife, amen, then we've got to know God as well. Understand what God wants. What is God's heartbeat? If you've got your Bibles now, why don't you grab them? I'm going to go to the Gospel of Mark. And while you're turning there, didn't we just have a wonderful time last week with Sister Johnson? That was just an amazing weekend. We hit our attendance record on Sunday morning. We had 81 people in church on Sunday. I was wondering where we were going to sit everybody. Amen. We had, I think, 32 mums in church for Mother's Day. We ran out of Mother's Day gifts, so we had to pick which mothers we loved more than... No, I'm not really. We worked it out. Amen. Mark chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 1 and 2 first of all. And again, he is talking about Jesus, entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to him. And I guess the first point I want to make as we begin to unwrap this story, is that the key to filling the house is to make sure that Jesus is there. Nobody would go to that house if Jesus wasn't there. Nobody was interested in going to that person's house unless Jesus happened to be there. The key to filling this house, the key to filling an outreach group, the key to filling a connect group with people is not because we're going to be the greatest or the best or the most skilled or the most incredible. The key will be to have Jesus here. Because if we can get Jesus here, everyone else will come because they'll want to be where Jesus was. And this is what happened in the Bible in the story here. Whoever owned the house said, Jesus, come to my house, come preach. And everybody came. So we have to get Jesus in the house. We have to share the news that it is here, that he is here. That's why, if I could put it like this, that's why it's important that we worship when we are together. Because when we get Jesus in the house, we will not be able to contain the people who want to come see him, who want to come experience what Jesus can do. We won't be able to contain the revival when Jesus is here. I've got good news. Jesus is in the house today. Amen. His presence is here. Lives can be changed. Do you believe that this morning? All right, that was for free. Mark chapter 2 and verse 3. Then they came to him bringing a paralytic, I'm reading in the New King James Version, who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. And so when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. Now, why do you think those four friends brought the paralytic to Jesus? Real simple. Because they knew that's where Jesus was. They brought him to that house because they knew that's where Jesus was. You can see a picture here, right? We want people to know this is where Jesus is. This is where Jesus is, amen? And lives and hearts can be changed here, amen? Maybe they had seen him do miracles before. Maybe they'd seen signs and wonders. Maybe they'd heard him preach and they gathered around. And they said, hey, I heard Jesus is over there in that house. Let's take our friend, let's take him over to Jesus because we know if we can just get him to Jesus, he'll be okay. God will heal him, amen? And so they knew who Jesus was. Not only did they know who Jesus was and where Jesus was, they knew that they had a friend who needed Jesus. Amen? They knew that they had a friend who needed Jesus. They knew that this man could not get any help anywhere else other than Jesus. He was paralytic. He was paralyzed. There was no hope for him outside of Jesus. And it's the same thing in the world today. We meet so many people who are hurt, who are hungry, who are thirsty, who need something, and they've tried so many different things, and nothing seems to work. And we are friends with them. We're co-workers with them. We interact with them on a daily basis, amen? And the question is if we know Jesus is here, we got to somehow get them here so they can meet Jesus, because Jesus is here. This is what happened in the story. These four men, their heartbeat was to share Jesus with a friend that was in need. And they cared enough to get involved. And so they got there, and the house was full. There was no room. It was chock-a-block. Nowhere to sit, nowhere to even get in the door. The Bible says that they got there, and they could not even come near the door in verse 2. Now, it's interesting. The ones that needed Jesus the most only saw the backs of those who were listening to Jesus. You ever think about that? See, sometimes we read through these Bible stories, we don't stop to think about the situation. The one who needed Jesus, the paralytic, was outside the door with his four friends. But everybody was looking at Jesus. If Brother Radic was my paralytic, everyone's looking at this, completely oblivious that there is a guy behind them that needs Jesus. How do I know that? Because they had to uncover the roof. If they had turned around and saw, oh, there's someone here who needs a healing, they probably would have said, let's make a way, make a path. Come on, let's let the man through. And God's going to heal him and we're going to see a miracle. And this is going to be great. Brothers and sisters, we have to be careful that we don't get so caught up in just keeping our eyes on Jesus. And don't get me wrong, we've got to keep our eyes on Jesus. But hear me now. Where we get so concerned with ourselves and what we can receive and what God wants to do in our life that we miss ministering to the people who are hungry and thirsty who have come in. Amen? It's very easy to sit on the front row and have a wonderful service and listen to the preaching. You got one step into the altar, you receive from the Lord. But if you have been a Christian for a long period of time or a short period of time, it doesn't matter. You can turn around and you can put your arm around someone and minister to them as well. We've got to keep our eyes, spiritually speaking, open to see who is in our church, who needs help, who do we need to pray for, who can we strengthen and encourage. Amen. We don't just come to church so that Jesus can meet our needs. We miss that sometimes. Hey, I do. I miss it too sometimes. I come to church, it's like, oh God, I've got this problem and that problem and this is going on in my life and all this and all this. And meanwhile, there's someone else whose life is even worse than ours. But we're so busy coming to Jesus to get our things fixed. And I'm not saying we can't do that. We should do that. We're His children. He wants to hear from us. But what I'm saying is we got to keep our eyes open spiritually. We've got to be aware that there are people who need Jesus, and we've got to be there to help them get to Jesus. See, while those four men had the heartbeat to see that this man needed Jesus, the crowd missed it. The crowd missed it. They were too busy listening to Jesus, they completely missed these four guys. I imagine that taking the roof off was not their first option. I mean, who in their right mind would come to church and see that it's full and go, you know what? I'm going to climb on the roof and dig a hole in the roof. I'll come through the roof. That'll work. Of course not. I imagine they probably tried to bang people on the shoulder. Hey, come on. We've got to get this man to Jesus. Can you let me through? Can you make a path, please? My friend here, he needs Jesus. I've got to take, go away. Go away. We're too busy listening to Jesus. I imagine they tried quite hard to get people out of the way so they could get their friend to Jesus. But they couldn't. And so the Bible says, well, we're going to do the next best thing. Let's take him on the roof. We're going to dig a hole through the roof. And that wasn't a simple matter. See, back then, the roofs were quite solid. As a matter of fact, often the roofs, you could put people on the roof. Right? And so it was quite solid and they were made of wood beams with thatch and clay tiles on top, and they would have had to really pull the whole thing apart. It was a lot of work and effort, and then they've got to get ropes and they had to lower this guy down into the crowd in front of Jesus. I imagine that the whole operation wasn't done in like 5-10 minutes. It probably took them about 30, 40 minutes, an hour maybe. And maybe someone looked up at the roof and said, what are you doing? We're busy listening to Jesus. See, here's my point. When we bring people to the Lord, when we witness to people, when we encourage people, sometimes it's going to be hard work. But how much work are we willing to put in to help that person? How much work are we willing to put in to say, you know what? Yeah, this is going to cost me time. It's going to cost me effort. It's going to be a bit of a struggle, but I want you to meet Jesus because I think Jesus and you need to be introduced. It's going to be an effort sometimes, amen. And what that means is that we should not give up. We should not get weary in well-doing, Galatians tells us, but we need to persist. We need to persist. There was a lady who I witnessed to for nearly 3 years before she came to church. When she came to church, she loved it. We baptized her in Jesus' name, and she fit in, and she was part of the family, and she's still a Christian today. But for 3 years, I worked with her to encourage her, to strengthen her, to build her up. And it wasn't every single time I spoke to her, you got to be in church. Why aren't you in church? You got to get to church. No, it was ministry. I want to be a friend. What's going on in your life? Can I pray about that for you? What's happening? I can answer your questions about the Bible. Man, let me tell you, this lady had like 55,722 questions about the Bible. I'd give her a passage to read. She'd read like two verses and she'd text me with like five questions from the two verses. Hard work. But that's God's heartbeat. That's what God wants. He wants people hungry for Him. As a church, we got to understand that if we are going to grow and make a difference and reach our community, it's going to be hard work. Discipleship is not easy. Living for God is hard work when you're trying to reach other people and make a difference in the kingdom. Amen. That's what these men found. They wanted Jesus to meet their friend. They knew Jesus was the only one who could help him. And so they went to all the effort of dragging this man up to the roof. I'm very grateful for Brother Attic and my dad. Because we were fishing. And I fell over. You can see my fingers. They're pretty wrecked. Unfortunately, we were quite remote, weren't we, Brother Attic? That was about a 30-minute walk back to the car. Do you know how hard it is to climb up boulders with your fingers at 45-degree angles the rest of your hand? It's difficult. I'm grateful for Brother Attic and for Dad because they helped me. It was hard work. They were sweating. They were pulling me up over rocks and helping me climb up and helping me get back to the car so we could go to the hospital. It was hard work. Not once did they turn around and go, oh, come on, can't you walk out by yourself? What is your problem, man? Just a couple of fingers? Suck it up, princess. Come on, move. No. Why? Because they cared. They cared. There are people we are going to come into contact with that are going to have the spiritual equivalent of busted fingers. And they're not going to be able to climb up the boulders of life that life has dumped on their doorstep. And it's our job to say, hey, I'm not going to get frustrated. I'm here to help you. No matter how long it takes, no matter how much effort it takes, we're going to take you and we're going to get you to hospital so you can get attention. We're going to take you, we're going to get you to church so you can meet Jesus and you can get some spiritual attention. Amen. Amen. Things get messy. Things get messy when we bring people to Jesus. But we have got to keep pushing through. And we've got to keep going through the barriers and keep saying, no, I'm not giving up on you. I'm here to help you. I'm your friend. Because God's heartbeat has become my heartbeat. And God wants to know you as well. Amen. Amen. Let's keep reading. Woo, man, I got to speed up. Let's look at the time here. Okay, Mark chapter 2 and verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. And some of the scribes are sitting there reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your heart? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. And immediately he rose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all. So they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. In response to the friend's faith, because that's what God was acting on, was the faith that these four men had. They knew if we can just get our friend to Jesus, he'll be healed. I just know that Jesus can do this. Amen. In response to that, Jesus forgave the man's sin. And that is the greatest possible miracle that we could ever witness. We get very excited, amen, about God doing healings. And I do as well. We've had healings in this church. And I get excited when God works a miracle and someone is healed and hernias dry up and all this kind of stuff happen. That excites me. But the greatest miracle of all is when our sins can be forgiven in the name of Jesus. Because any other kind of thing in our body, there might be other ways we could get help. Well, Jesus healed me, but I had a really good doctor as well. Oh, Jesus healed me, but I had an operation last week as well. And you know, praise God for healing me. But in the back of your mind, you go, well, maybe it was the doctor as well. But the problem of sin is something that nobody else but Jesus can fix. While we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly, the Bible tells us in Romans. We have no hope outside of Jesus Christ, amen. It is Jesus Christ who forgives us our sin, and nobody else can do that for us. Not a man, not a church, not an organization. You can't buy absolution for your sins. Jesus is the only one who can forgive sins. And so when Jesus turned to this paralytic, he performed the greatest miracle that had ever been seen. He said, son, your sins are forgiven you. And of course, we know the scribes got all upset at that. But the people were amazed because they had never seen anything like that before. And this is what our life will be like when we allow our heartbeat to match God. See, we can't forgive sins either, but we can lead people to Jesus. And we can see the greatest miracle happen every single Sunday. We can see it happen in Bible studies. We can see it happen in connect groups. We can see it happen in a coffee shop as we lead people to Jesus Christ. Say, hey, I want to introduce you to the only one. Yeah, I know you got this problem and that problem, and God will help you with that. I believe he will. But let me tell you, God's going to help you with something else. Your sins can be forgiven in the name of Jesus. Amen. And that is how our life matches the heartbeat of God. Here's the thing. Somebody in your life right now needs to be carried to Jesus. I'm going to say it again. Somebody in your life that you know right now needs to be carried to Jesus. They are struggling. They're hurting. They don't know which way to turn. And we become very, very good at putting on a brave face, Tello. Very good at putting on a... Everything's fine with me. How are you doing? I'm fine. I'm fine. And people put up walls. But you know, as you get closer to people, as you become friends, as you build a relationship with them, you're going to start to see cracks that appear in the facades that people... We're experts at put... We put them up in church even. We come to everything's fine with me. I'm good, pastor. I'm all good. Bless the Lord. Hello? We do. It shouldn't surprise us that people out there do it as well. Amen. But as we build relationships, as we build friendships, as we draw closer to these people and become friends with them, you will find that one day there will be a crack. And they'll say, yeah, I'm really struggling with this right now and I don't know what to do. That is your chance to say, hey, my friend, I've got something for you. Let me introduce you to Jesus. Let me introduce you to Jesus. We are going to find people like that. There is somebody right now in your life that needs to be carried to Jesus. Here's the thing. You didn't have to carry them there alone. It wasn't one man who carried his paralytic friend all the way to Jesus. No, there was four of them. They got together, all four of them, and said, hey, come on, we're going to do this thing. We're going to get our buddy. We're going to take him to go see Jesus, and Jesus is going to heal him. Brothers and sisters, the church is here to support one another. We care for one another. We pray for one another. We lift one another up, amen. And so while you're carrying somebody to Jesus, you don't have to carry them alone. You don't have to bear that burden alone, but you've got brothers and sisters who can put their arms around you and say, hey, I'm going to pray for your kids with you. Let's agree in prayer together that God is going to help bring them back to you. You don't have to pray for your grandkids by yourself. You don't have to pray for your brother by yourself, your sister by yourself. Your husband, your wife by yourself. Come on, we're a church. We're going to work together on this. We're going to pray together and love together and build together and encourage together. Amen. God has placed other believers alongside you to help you carry others to Jesus. That's what the church is for. That's why we don't just, you know, meet in our homes and have Bible times just by ourselves. No, we come together because we strengthen one another. We build one another up. I wonder how many times one of the four stopped and said, man, this guy's getting real heavy. My legs are getting a bit sore. And one of the other three said, come on, we're nearly to where Jesus is. We're nearly there. Come on, we can do this. You know, when you are trying to reach someone, particularly, I feel in my spirit, particularly if it's like a son or a daughter that's been wayward, or maybe a husband or wife who doesn't know the Lord, it can get discouraging sometimes. It can be downheartening sometimes because you're constantly carrying, constantly picking up, constantly praying, but you don't have to do that alone. You can reach up and say, hey, pastor, I want you to help me pray for my husband. You can go to another sister in the church and say, hey, sis, can you help me pray for my kids? Can you help me carry this burden? I'm just feeling a little lost. I'm feeling a little discouraged, because we all get discouraged sometimes. But that's why the church is here. We can support one another, care for one another, lift together. Someone say, praise the Lord. Here's my last point this morning. Once they got him to Jesus, they didn't have to do anything else. They lowered him down the roof, put him in front of Jesus. Jesus forgave his sins and healed him. Sometimes we can feel like, I've got to get him to Jesus, and I've got to help him do this, and I've got to do this, and I've got to do this, I've got to do this, and no, just get them to Jesus. Jesus will do his part. Jesus will do what he's promised to do. He's promised to heal the brokenhearted. He's promised to set the captive free. He's promised to set at liberty those that are bruised. Amen. And if we just get them to Jesus, he will do his part. We can trust him with our friends. We can trust him with our family, with our husband, our wife, our kids, our sons, our daughters. We can trust that Jesus will do his bit. That's what encourages me. That's what encourages me, that I know Jesus can be here. And as we all stand this morning, maybe today, you're sitting here going, well, you know what, pastor, that's great, but I'm actually the one that's being need to be carried to Jesus. I'm the one that's hurting. I'm the one that's feeling lost. I'm the one that's not sure what tomorrow even brings. And if that's you today, I commend you, because you're in the right place today. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Lives and hearts can be changed here today because Jesus is here. Amen. Let's just lift our hands, lift our voices this morning. Oh, hallelujah. Friends and family, Lord, that we know, oh God, Lord, who for whatever reason, oh Lord, they're hurting, God, but they haven't quite made it to Jesus yet. Lord, help us as a church, Lord, to have your heartbeat, oh God, to try and carry these people to church, Lord God. And Lord, maybe they don't want to come right now, Lord God, but we need to be willing and ready and able and understand that it might be a little bit of hard work and a little bit of effort, Lord God. But if we can just catch your heartbeat, Lord, bring these people to you, Lord God. That's what we need to do. Oh, your power is here, Lord, to heal and deliver, Lord God. You are in the house, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And maybe this morning while we were praying, maybe God has laid somebody on your heart, maybe just recently. I want you to keep that person's name in your mind. And I want you to commit, I'm going to carry that person to Jesus. They might not come to church with me this week. They might not come with me in the next 6 months, but I'm going to commit that at least in prayer, I'm going to carry them to Jesus. I'm going to lift them up every day, and I'm going to say, Jesus, help me to find a way to get this person to you, oh God. Lord, right now, oh God, I pray, Lord, for those people who have got somebody in their mind, that name, Lord God. Lord, right now, oh Lord, it's going to be hard work. We're going to have to remember, Lord God. We're going to have to do it day in, day out, over and over and over again, Lord Jesus. But Lord, help us to carry that person to you. Help us, Lord, to lift them up in prayer, Lord God, and to be a friend, Lord, to build a relationship with them, Lord God, to be a comforting shoulder, Lord, that maybe they need to cry on, or a sympathetic ear just to listen to for a little while, Lord God. Help us, Lord, to catch your heartbeat, Lord, to be your hands and your feet in this world, Lord God, as we interact with people every day, Lord Jesus. Lord, help us to catch your heartbeat. Oh, yes, Lord God. Yes, Lord God. Yes, Lord God. Praise you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you today for our life class. Lord, we thank you for this series that we just started, Lord God. Lord, as we go through these next 4 weeks, Lord, help us to be alert, Lord, for those people who need to meet you, Lord God. Lord, help us to listen with love, Lord, with understanding and care, Lord God. Help us to have your heartbeat. Jesus, have your way, Lord, in the rest of our service today. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus.